The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you today, and it is March the 6th. It's Monday. It's the day after the World Golf Championships, Mexico Championship, and what a great finish for Dustin Johnson. What a great way to show the world that, yes, he does indeed deserve to be the number one golfer in the world, as he had a lot of challengers coming at him in Mexico City over the weekend, and he thwarted every one of them, so walks away with not only the title as number one in the world, also another World Golf Championship title for him, but a nice little check for, I don't know how many pesos it would be, but $1.6 million. It's a lot of pesos. So congratulations to DJ for a phenomenal tournament. A lot of entertainment over the weekend with people chipping in from virtually everywhere on that golf course. Even guys that were 20 shots behind the leaders seemed to be getting chip-ins left and right. So it was a very entertaining round of golf in Mexico City, where they haven't been playing a lot of golf on the PGA Tour in like forever, and at an altitude of well over Mile High City of Denver and the normal high altitudes that U.S. players at least would be playing in the Rockies and whatnot, close to 7,800 feet for a lot of this tournament. So the balls were flying a lot further than they normally would, which added to some of the excitement, also some of the drama of golfers flying greens, not knowing exactly which clubs to use at different times, had to get their calculator out with their caddy to figure out yardages. So anyway, it was all fun and good. He finished, DJ did, at 14 under and just one shot ahead of Tommy Fleetwood out of England, and kind of snuck up on a lot of people with back-to-back 66s on Saturday and Sunday to surprise a lot of people to be the runner-up. 12 under was Ross Fisher and John Rahm. And let's keep an eye on John Rahm. That guy is just a phenomenal golfer. As a matter of fact, until he just had a little bit of a stumble in the last couple of holes, he was right there with Dustin Johnson, and it looked like we might be headed for a playoff. But Rahm stumbled, Johnson didn't, and DJ again wins the championship. I'm in our Dallas studios. Frank Bassett joins us in our Nashville studios. Frank, did you get a chance? Frank, as we all know, you guys listen every day to us. Frank's been moving and remodeling a house here for the last, 16, 17 years, it seems like.
It does.
You don't always have time to watch your golf. Did you get a chance to watch this weekend?
No. I watched it this weekend. Absolutely. I listened to it when I wasn't in front of the TV on PGATour.com, our play-by-play. And then I was in the car, so I had it on Sirius XM, and then I was in front of the TV for the final nine holes of DJ. And it was, you're right, it was impressive. A couple of takeaways from this past week. One takeaway is don't drink the water. Do not drink the water, right? So
yes.
Bones sicker than a dog. Tim comes in, Tim Mickelson, and caddies for his brother. Tim's John Rahm's manager and teacher.
And coach.
So that was a takeaway. The other takeaway is if your caddy high-fives you, have a firm enough forearm that you're not going to hit yourself in the eye. Like, I'm calling him Fleetwood Smack. Okay. It's Fleetwood Smack because he took the smack in the face of his own hand. He reached up to high-five him and bam, it hits him in the eye. So then these guys tweet out last night. It was really funny. It looked like he had a Corona in his hand. And Fleetwood said, just to tell everybody I'm okay.
That was pretty funny.
That was really funny. So Fleetwood Smack is what we're going to call him for the rest of the 2017 side of the 2016-2017 PGA Tour wraparound season. Good tournament.
Very, very, very good golfer. Like I said, some guys that you wouldn't normally expect with that field of top 20 golfers in the world, top 30 golfers in the world, and Tommy Fleetwood, Ross Fisher, John Rahm, lesser-known guys that are obviously very, very talented, coming up and finishing in second and third and fourth place. Thomas Peters, also the great Ryder Cup player for Europe, having a great tournament, shot a 68. He finished at 11 under along with Justin Thomas. So Justin, was there, had a chance, shot a 1 over 72, and obviously you go into those final rounds, you can't afford to go over par, and he let a few clubs fly out of his hands too, didn't he?
Yeah, he hit a spectator. I'm sure there'll be a price to pay for that. you just don't let that happen. He did apologize on Twitter, by the way. He said, hey, I'm sorry. I'm a very emotional guy. A lot of fire in my belly. A lot of money out of his back pocket. The spectator can't sue him or wouldn't. It was not intentional.
No,
but he is an emotional guy. And But he did tweet out something really interesting that I saw this morning, that he tweeted out Roy McIlroy last year at Doral when he rears back and throws his club into the water hazard. And he said, I learned from the best. So the proverbial club toss.
That was in response to that one, because as soon as the club left his hands, and let's make it clear that Justin Thomas didn't intentionally throw the club like Rory did into a pond. He kind of just let it go like a lot of the golfers do when they know they hit it wrong. They usually let it go on their backswing and it kind of just drops down behind their back or whatever. And he meant to do that, only he let it go a little too early and it kind of flew towards the crowd a little bit.
Yeah.
But Rory tweeted, he goes, but look at it's perfectly on plane. And he put a line through the club that was going through the crowd and it was on plane with his swing. And so that's when Thomas resorted to saying, yeah, I learned from the best, because when he threw it into the pond, he also froze it when it was just releasing from his hand. He goes, look how plain that club toss was into the lake. It was perfect.
That's
so they just gave each other some, it's a good time.
Hey,
so,
interestingly enough, you know, 7,000 plus altitude down to zero. We're going to sea level to the Valspar, the Snake Pit, one of my favorite courses that I've played. When I lived in Florida all those years, we would go down from Ponte Vedra. We'd head down to outside of Tampa and go to Innisbrook. And the Copperhead course at Innisbrook, year in and year out, is probably one of the more difficult golf courses on the PGA Tour, period. It's a tough course. By the way, that's a course that we were playing one time with my good friend Tom Novak, who was with, in those days, Barnett Banks, which is now Bank of America. He was one of a good friend, and we were playing the course, and I hit a beautifully executed knockdown five wood. like it's 7 feet off the ground, just screaming, hits a tree, splits a grapefruit in half, perfectly in half.
Really?
Fell right off the tree, split it in half. Novak comes running up and he goes, all right, vodka and grapefruit juice. He pulls a bottle of vodka out of his bag and squeezes that into the cup. It was hilarious.
Wow. So nice shot.
The five wood knockdown vodka and grapefruit shot.
It is. Yeah. It is indeed. You're right. Valspar Championship played a very tough course. You wouldn't know you're in Florida necessarily, because it's very high trees and tall trees and not palm trees. It doesn't look like Doral if you kind of think of that as your Florida courses. It's not at all that wide open kind of a course with palm trees. It's tall, tall pine trees and different trees that are all over there. You can't miss fairways and have any luck when you're playing at the Valspar. So, hey, let's talk. We have Hank Haney.
Yeah, we got to call Steve. But before you leave Valspar, I have to tell you, it's called the Snake Pit for a reason. Do not reach down to try to get your ball under some rocks or around some rocks in the rough. I will tell you that I met a friend with no shoulders one day doing that, and it spooked me so bad. If I lose a ball anywhere anymore, it's lost, gone.
You should never reach anyway. You should always use at least a club to go get your ball.
Yes,
anyway.
So just really make the snake mad so it just launches at you.
But I'm not going to not pick up a golf ball. If I can see it, I'm going to go get it, but I'm going to use my golf club to get it. I'm not going to reach my hand down and get it.
Oh, brutal. Hey, let's call Steve Johnson. What do you think?
Yeah, because I got some questions for Steve. You know, Steve's mom's from Mexico, so I've got some Mexico questions for Steve.
Realize.
So let's talk to him. Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Steve Johnson.
I'm just going to dial him up right in the middle of the show.
Let's do it.
What are we giving away? Hi, you've won.
He should be around.
Let's see. Let's give something away.
Really?
Yeah, here we go. Let's give something away.
Hello?
Hi. You've won a 2-day, 3-night trip to the Bahamas.
Man, I don't like the Bahamas.
Really?
Yeah. We had to punk him again.
I can't stand the Bahamas. Too much wind. No.
Too much
wind. You're not going. You're not going.
Well, didn't you teach Tiger to hit that knockdown, that stinger?
I tell you what I'm considering doing. I'm considering going down to Mexico City. I need to lose about 10 pounds. I may go down there and eat some of the buffets down there.
Apparently. You know, that is actually a very good lead into my first question, Stevie Ray J, because your mother is from Mexico. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes. And so you have some Mexican heritage there, and maybe you have an answer to this
one. I'm half. I'm 50%. I'm what they call un medio Mexicano. I'm half Mexican.
And your dad was German or Irish or something, right?
Yeah. He was some type of Anglo. I tell you what, back when they got married, it wasn't legal for them to get married. They got married in California, which was legal, but it wasn't legal for them to get married until 1968 in 13 states, and one of those states would have been Texas. That's how far we've come, but we need to come. We need to keep coming. But it wasn't that long ago that was.
They would have been fugitives.
Forbidden.
Yeah, yeah, that is amazing. I'm curious, you know, with all the illnesses we're talking about, with the people coming down with viruses and stomach issues at this tournament, at the WGC Mexico Championship, and maybe you have the answer, maybe you don't. People would say, well, don't drink the water. They're like, they're drinking bottled water, they're not drinking the water. But if you take a shower and wash your face or do anything with water, does that not still get into your system? Would it still affect you in the stomach the same way?
I hosted Hank's show here this weekend, and I did a public service. I was looking at the Mayo Clinic study about how to avoid food poisoning.
Yes.
They've got six rules, basically, Tim. Wash your hands in food surfaces a bunch. I mean, almost like a doctor. You're washing your hands all the time because 85% of the bacteria that create the food poisoning is airborne. It's in dust. It's all over the place. So it can settle. So you've got to wash your hands. You've got to keep food separate. Keep foods ready to eat food separate from fresh foods. You've got to cook your foods at a safe temperature. You've got to refrigerate the perishable food items. Defrost the food safely. And then number six is the most important. When in doubt, throw it out.
All right, I've got to go to my refrigerator, guys, and clean it out while you're finishing the show.
Seriously. I'm going to get sick just here in my house.
Here's the thing,
Steve.
Good tips. Those are great tips. But here's the thing. Cutting boards are as bad as a toilet seat, basically, for bacteria. I mean, God, it's terrible. I'm telling you.
Thanks for that visual, Frank.
Oh, there you go. A wooden cutting board. I mean, seriously. People cut fish on it, and they'll cut meat on it and cheese on it.
And they don't clean it.
And they don't clean it. And you have to clean it
with
vinegar.
Yeah, you've got to clean that. You've got to clean that. And, you know, another thing, a lot of readers were chiming in comment section. And one of the things that they said, which is really a wise decision, is beware of the bad ice. Ice contains a lot of those same bacteria. And Tim has blamed a lot of bad mornings on bad ice.
No, that was the previous night for Tim.
Yeah.
It was the bad tequila is what it was.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the ice. And we know Bones was the most well-known of the victims of all this, although Henrik Stenson, I guess, also had it bad enough that he withdrew from the tournament in the first day. But a lot of people were having issues with it. So it was just an issue throughout the tournament. As the tournament played out, you know, the cream rises to the top. Number one golfer in the world, Dustin Johnson. Steve, I'm not saying he's unbeatable, but boy, he sure, when he needed to do it, as opposed to the Dustin Johnson we seem to know from 3 and 4 and 6 years ago, when he needs to come through and play solid and not make mistakes, he looks like a different guy now than that 5 year ago Dustin Johnson, doesn't he?
He sure does. You know what? Going into the fourth round, Tim, he had four three putts and three penalty shots going into the first 54 holes. And you think, man, that guy's, he's having a hard time, but he was just a couple shots off the lead. It didn't take him long to get the lead. And he even had a three putt on Sunday. And still managed to get it done. I mean, that's a little bit Tiger Wood-esque there because he didn't have his best stuff. He said he didn't have his best stuff. Now, the golf course, you can see those players, as they get more comfortable with the golf course, as they get more comfortable with the setup, man, it just takes them a few rounds of golf and then they figure it out. And at least Dustin Johnson did. I don't know if Phil Mickelson ever figured it out, but hitting him into the trees, and he was all over the place.
He was entertaining, if nothing else, wasn't he?
Well, he was an equal opportunity misser. I mean, he missed him everywhere. So he
looked like Tiger. He didn't know if he was going left or right.
It was trick shot golf. Yeah, it was.
So some other trick shots. Let me ask you guys your opinions, because I've heard mixed reviews on this. What do you think of the Justin Thomas throwing the club and letting go of the club and all that stuff? Well, what do you think of that?
We just talked about that.
Yeah, we did. We
Tim
did.
And I just talked about that.
He did let one go that got pretty close to some fans off the tee box because they're pretty tight on the tee box there. My feeling is that if it happens once but he seemed like he was trying. I'm not saying trying to do it, but he was doing it 4 and 5 times in a round. That's too much. You know, I mean, you can't let your club go that many times. You're going to hit some fat shots and bad shots. You can't have as a normal reaction to that. You let your club go because most of the time, you're out in the fairway. You're not going to hurt anybody but yourself. But when he did it in the tee box, I think he realized, like, oh, And it kind of, that's getting close to people. Well, if it hits somebody in the head, I think you'd really regret that. Even if it didn't hurt him seriously, I think you'd feel really bad about that. I think he needs to figure that out and learn how to not be letting go of the club all the time.
Right.
Frank,
right.
What do you think?
Well, I really was amused. I think he was trying out some of Mike Davis's new rules initiatives. Did you see? He was either on 16 or 17. He missed a 2-foot putt, and he tapped down the spike mark. It looked like he tapped the spike mark about 4 inches down into the ground after he missed his little putt. He's got some anger issues. And, you know, a lot of kids out there watching.
Yep.
You know, not a great example. And
let me ask you this, Steve. I mean,
from it. You know, the PGA Tour pros were tweeting about it and how he was throwing the club on plane and all that stuff. But I think he learned from him. I'm sure his dad's going to talk to him when he gets back to the state. So
we're talking with Steve Johnson, who's managing partner at Hank Haney Golf. And I want to ask you, being around Tiger Woods as much as you were, Justin and Jordan and a lot of these guys would be influenced by Tiger. They idolized Tiger growing up. And Tiger wasn't a club thrower, but he had his emotion. He would get mad. We would hear him cussing. Not unusual to hear him cussing on microphone and the announcers would have to say something. So seeing him play like that, and you're talking about young golfers looking up to these guys and looking up to Justin Thomas now, could Tiger have had some influence on those guys? Could their emotions be getting their way they are because of them watching Tiger and thinking, well, that's okay, that's the way to do it?
You know, he influenced a lot of us on and off the course, Tiger Woods did throughout the years. And so that is something that the PGA Tour with Tim Fincham and now the new head of the PGA Tour, the new commissioner, are going to have to deal with. And they typically would deal with it behind closed doors. They would talk to the players. They would find the players.
Yeah, they would.
You know what? I think they've got it pretty well under control. I mean, I'm sure they'll talk to Justin Thomas about the influence and all that, and he'll learn from it.
There's a man that we lost this past year. That if you were summoned to Orlando, Florida, to his office at Bay Hill, you'd done something bad on the tour, and he wanted to talk to you about it. And that's Mr. Palmer. And he was a big influence on Tiger, trying to, I believe, straightening Tiger out in those days when TW was cussing like a sailor on the golf course. I mean, he really, you know, had a pretty bad potty mouth. And of course, you would know more about that because, you know, you were around him a lot. So, but I think Mr. Palmer was a great influence on the bad influencers, if that
kind of self-policing, right. Yeah, kind of self-policing, I think, amongst the golfers of themselves and the guys of the older age and whatnot. But I'm going to say this, though, Steve, that I enjoy seeing Justin and Rory and guys having some emotion. I'm not overly excited watching Dustin Johnson play golf. I love watching his play, but oh my God, it's watching paint dry too, isn't it? Is there anybody who has less emotion in life than Dustin Johnson?
That's not nice.
I'm not saying it's nice,
loves,
it's true.
He loves golf, Tim, and he's more like the Freddie Couples, where it looks like he's just taking a walk in the park. But they did show him quite a bit, and he does have some subtle facial emotions, you know, and he can handle the adversity better than anybody. On 16 on Saturday, he hit a wedge. Did you see this? He hit a wedge on this par 5, and he hit it over this tree, and it clipped the top of the tree, and I'd be damned, the ball never came down. So he had to go back there. They couldn't find the ball. It was stuck up in the tree. He went back. He played a penalty shot, knocked it up there, made the putt. The wind blows. The ball blows down out of the tree.
I missed that.
The official gives it to Austin, his brother, and he shows it to Dustin. They just put it back in the bag. No big deal. You know, unbelievable in his his ability just to let stuff roll off his back. And, I mean, we saw that in his very first major at Pebble Beach, where he was leading after 3 rounds and he had a terrible collapse 4th round. And I thought, oh my gosh, this poor guy's going to take him a long time to recover. Well, heck, it only took him a week because he was right back, you know, at the top of the field again the next week. So,
well, and he always seems to, I grant you that it works for him. And so I wouldn't suggest that he changes it. I'm just saying, boy, oh boy, I do like seeing some emotion. I do like seeing when John Rahm makes a good shot or makes a putt. He pumps his fist a little bit. He's got something. DJ could drain a 90-foot putt that has 12 breaks, and he just walks to the hole, takes it out of the hole. I'd be like, I'd be doing somersaults, walking to the, you know, nothing changed. Or if he misses a one-footer to win a U.S. Open, no change, no difference. And so it's just the way he is, and Yeah, why would you change if you're Dustin Johnson? I'm just saying, I think Justin Thomas needs to keep his hands on the club a little bit more, but I appreciate the guy has, you know, some pulse going through him. Hey, how about Phil? Phil showed a little bit of emotion because every hole was an adventure for Phil. Amazingly, he finished only four shots back at 10 under. I don't know how that guy held his round together. Saturday's round, that 60-80 shot, one of the best rounds I've ever seen with a guy that could not find a green or a fairway in regulation.
Yeah, he's a wizard. And you know what? He's going to go home and he's going to work on it. He worked on it after his round on Saturday. And you know what? I look for good things for him for the Masters. I think he hasn't been playing very well. Once he gets his ball striking a little bit better, I mean, he's getting it done. And for a guy that's his age, still competing at the levels that he's competing at is unbelievable. You mentioned John Rahm, Tim.
Yeah.
You know what? The European Tour better figure out how to get him on the Ryder Cup team.
You think?
Because this kid is damn good. And
oh, awesome.
He is. It surprised me that he three-putted twice coming in. But up until that point, his scorecard was pretty clean for the week. Didn't make a lot of birdies, but he didn't make a lot of mistakes. And he is he's the type of golfer that he's going to be around for a long time. I mean, I think I told
Seems
you this
very
before.
Confident.
The first time I saw him was at Arizona State. He was at the practice facility, and I was with one of my students, Scott Pinckney. We're practicing there, and we saw John Rahm hitting little pitch shots, you know, up over the bunkers. And you know how hard the pitch shots are, Tim. And we talked about difficulties with the pitches, but he was hitting these nice little pitch shots over bunker, you know, two bounce and stop, lofting them up in the air. The only difference was he was doing it with a four iron. He reminded me of Seve Ballesteros. I could not believe how much control he had of the club face with a four iron hitting pitch shots. It was unbelievable. And that was 3 years ago I saw him do that.
I'm curious about his swing. I mean, he's got a very restricted backswing, a different-looking swing for sure, and one more reminiscent of almost a Lee Trevino or one that you kind of came up with yourself. And I don't know if he had instruction as a younger player. As you said, he went to Arizona State and obviously a very, very good golfer when he was younger. He's 22 now. What do you think about his golf swing?
Well, I mean, he's a little bit like a shorter version of a Jim Furyk. It's a little bit like a J.B. Holmes. I mean, now J.B. Holmes can create a lot of club hits, you know, it's a swing. He's got a really good impact position. He can control the ball. I'm not sure that he can hit all nine of the shots, but he is an artist. And, you can see how much Phil respects his game as a young guy. I mean, Phil said he was 3 weeks ago not a good player. He's one of the best players in the world. And that's a tremendous compliment coming from a guy like Phil Mickelson.
Well, and I think he showed, too, that he's got a lot of confidence. Again, for 22 years old and a name that we hadn't heard a lot about up until the last 5 months or so, he sure seems like he fits in well and he feels like he belongs right where he's at and instead of one of these guys that come out of nowhere and then fade away again. So you're right. I think Ryder Cup Europeans are in good shape. The U.S. has to worry about a guy like John Rahm on the Ryder Cup for a long, long time. But
can we take Lee Westwood off the Ryder Cup team? Especially after
finally.
His poor performance yesterday. Oh, my God. Did you see that? They didn't even show him on television.
It was horrible.
He was in the same group as John Rahm and Phil Mickelson, and they didn't show him hit one shot. Well, he was absolutely pathetic. He
shot a 78.
He had four double bogeys and three bogeys.
Yeah.
He missed a three-footer. Yeah. He, you know, penalty shots, two chips. He four-putted hole number nine. For a double bogey. So,
and that comes after Saturday. Saturday at 66, played really well and comes back with a 78. Wow.
There's something about his character. He's the type of guy when you see him, you want to like him. But there's something about him that, you know, just is not right. And in terms of competitiveness, I don't know if he doesn't feel comfortable on the big stage. Now, he was playing with, you know, with Phil Mickelson and John Rahm. Phil Mickelson's an intimidating player, but with the way he was playing, you wouldn't think that would be so intimidating. And John Rahm's a rookie, or, you know, just about a rookie on the tour. Surprised me that Lee Westwood put that poor of a performance together. And, I mean, they didn't say anything about him being sick. You know, who knows? Maybe he was ready to go home.
Wow. Well, we Steve Johnson calling out Lee Westwood.
Oh, well, hey,
challenge match.
You called out Patrick.
That was
Reed
one of
earlier.
My predictions. I predicted that he was going to El Faldo, and he sure did.
El Faldo. Okay.
He did, and I said Dustin Johnson wasn't very emotional. So we're kind of ripping on everybody here, aren't we?
Yeah, great.
Top and bottom.
Been nice working with you, Tim.
Yeah, it's fun.
We enjoyed doing the show. Yeah. No, you called out Patrick Reed about the same thing, and I said this earlier.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys. But I would think that some of the personalities out there, when they see they're so out of it, it's just crazy, they say, okay, I'm going to work on my game because I know next week I have to play X tournament. So what am I missing? And let me just kind of work on my game in this final round. Do you agree or disagree with that, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, but on a stage like that, you got to, when you cash it in, it is so easy to cash in the next time, the next time, the next time. Those guys do stay engaged. They think differently than most of us. They think mostly positive thoughts about their game. They very seldom go to the negative, because if they did, they would spiral downward. Heck, Jack Nicklaus said you spent a whole career building up your confidence, and three or four bad shots can destroy it. So, I mean, they do not go there. And I'd be surprised if Lee Westwood went there, too. I'm sure he was trying the whole time. It just wasn't going to happen for him. But maybe he was thinking about the new rules changes. That could have been it.
And before I let you go, Stephen, I know you have to take off. I'm going to ask you one last question. Of the new rule change that are being proposed, and we have to make sure that people know, this wouldn't take place for like 2 years, something like that, right? Before it would actually undergo the changes and they'd be in the rule book. Which was the most significant to you as far as the average golfer out there, not the tour guys, but the average golfer out there, which one that you think will have the most impact or make the most sense to the average golfer on a Saturday?
Well, the USGA says they've got three objectives. One, to make the rules more consistent. One, to make them simpler. And one, to make the game more fair. They keep talking about keeping the players moving forward. So the stroke and distance penalties are going to be the ones that seem to be taking, significance right now. I mean, now the dropping and all that stuff, I mean, who cares, really? I mean, most of the guys drop twice anyway and then get to place it. So, yeah. I mean, it is an art. What I do know is that we need to hear from the listeners. We need to hear from the USGA. We need to hear from the players. And the USGA has invited us. Now, you go on their website, usga.org, Tim, and it's not a front page deal where it says, hey, we want your feedback, click here. You got to go to the rules section. Let me just sketch this out real quick. USGA.org, on the top bar it says rules. You click that. You go to the rules home. You scroll down the page. It says feedback. They take you through every rule change. It's a little one-sentence description of what the rule change is. Then you give your opinion. And you have choices. Definitely not, not really, slightly in favor, very much in favor, don't know. And then at the bottom of each of these sections, you get a comment section where you can write anything you want to write. I would urge all of your listeners to go on USGA.org. We've got 18 months to give them feedback, and let's just overwhelm them with the feedback, because if we would have done the same thing with the anchoring ban, we would not have an anchoring ban right now. So that's my public service to the listeners out there. Get on there, USGA.org, and let your voice be heard.
That's a good point. It's a very good point, because you're right. It is for most of the people out there, the millions and millions of us that don't make a living doing this. The rules affect us too, so we should have a say in it. It's a very good point, Steve. You should be running for an elected official.
There's a new rules initiative that I'm gonna comment on. It's the Tim Matthews rule. If you're close to the green, you can, for one stroke, you can take your ball and you can set it on the green.
Don't you think?
Oh, Tim. Oh, good. Tim Cheeks.
I like that one. Everybody, go in there.
Pitch no pitch rule.
That's going to be the write-in rule. So write that one in underneath the other rules that they're trying to establish. So,
hey,
yeah,
Steve,
no, I think it's going to be great.
Steve, we want to leave you with this. The high five that Mr. Fleetwood and his caddy tried to execute after his fabulous round, we're calling him Fleetwood Smack now instead of Fleetwood.
You know what? I've seen his name a lot, Frank.
He's a
player. I've seen his name a lot on the leaderboards, and it was neat to put a face with a name.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's the first time I've ever seen him play. He's got some game.
He does have some game, but that's funny though. But he will forever be Fleetwood Smack, at least for the rest of this season. I can't help it.
All right, guys.
Ernstel. All right, Steve. We appreciate it. You take care. Have a great day.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot.
See ya.
And
okay.
Hey, Yep. Send that winning prize to me.
Oh, okay.
You the Bahamas.
We're gonna give you 2 nights and 3 days at French Lick. How does that sound?
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
See you, Steve.
All right, Steve Johnson, managing partner at Hank Haney Golf. Give him something.
He's a
big contributor to this show. We got to give him something.
Yes, he's a good dude.
Sleeve of balls or something.
He carries Hank's show on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio.
Yeah.
He carries Hank's show. He does.
And he's
no,
he's
I'm,
his,
I'm just messing. His, I'm messing with Hank, but Steve
he's
does
got his
a great
hot opinions.
Job.
He yeah, does. But he's right about that. The USGA people need to voice it, because if it doesn't change or things don't happen the way you want, then it's almost like an election. You can't really complain if you didn't say something, and they're letting people voice their opinions. What do you think? For 18 months, they're going to get feedback. So he's right.
Okay.
Put it in there, whatever you think about these rules changes.
We should write in, not on the rules, but as an opinion, that they should put you and I on the USGA executive board.
Ooh.
That would be great. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett on the executive board of the USGA. Golf would be taken to a new low. We'd eliminate the rules, and it would be Happy Gilmore Golf.
free cup holders on every green.
Oh, man. Are you
kidding?
Like
you put your cocktail down before you go putt.
No, buddy. I'm talking blenders on the carts. I mean, frozen margaritas. Yeah. So this week, the Valspar Championship, that's going to be a great tournament. I wish we were going to be there. Can't do it this week because we're gearing up for some.
Where are we
things.
Going, Frank? We got something coming up?
We do, I think. There's a tournament in Georgia that we're going to attend. In Augusta, isn't it? It's Augusta, yeah.
Devil goes down to Georgia?
Yeah. You know, that's pretty true. But we will be at the Azalea House, baby, as you well know. And our listeners know it. We preach it all the time, azaleahospitality.com. Azalea House is one of our huge, they and French Lick are big travel sponsors. They put us out on the road week after week, and we have a lot of fun. So thanks to Marcus and Billy and Chris and Jack and Carrie Ann and the crew at Azalea House for taking great care of Golf Talk America. And we will be broadcasting, we will be doing live shows from Azalea House Sunday through Sunday. Two
at
shows
Augusta.
A day
yeah.
in Augusta, Georgia for the Masters. So
wow.
stop by That'd the Azalea great. House and say hi to us. Just come up to the front door and say, ask for Chris. Ask for Chris and tell him why you want to walk in the door and get free food and drinks. Marcus is going to hear this and go,
that.
What did you do?
I appreciate that.
But you should stop by and at least say hi
It'll
to us.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to it because it's going to be, I think, a great Masters. You see all the great young golfers. I don't even know the bookmakers and certainly the guys in London that do this for a living on almost everything, who's going to get married when and all that.
Right.
I don't know who you put your money on at this point. I mean, certainly the Dustin Johnsons and Justin Thomases and guys who are playing hot would be a good choice, and you got to go with Spieth. He seems to love that golf course. But at the same time, when you see the Tommy Fleetwoods and Ross Fishers and John Rahms and guys that maybe you're not even thinking about, you never know. I mean, look at who's the defending champion. Who made money on that last year? Danny Willett?
Nobody.
Danny and his immediate family. That's about the only people that put money on Danny Willett.
Well,
so.
No, Danny's a good guy. Danny Willett's a good person. It just
sure.
It's unfortunate
just saying,
that he,
but you,
it, he beat. He was crucified for beating the golden child, Spieth. and let's face it, he was right there. A lot of people say, well, he didn't beat him. Well, yes, he did, because he happened to be right there, and Jordan had that hiccup, and he was right there to take it, and he just – nosed him out at the finish line. So
he had the score that won, so that's all that matters. But you never know. That's my point. You never know going into this one.
Our good friend Mark Immelman, who does On the Mark, part of our PGA Tour Radio family, is Trevor's instructor for years. His brother, Trevor Immelman, who won the Masters over Nashville's fair-haired boy, Brant Snedeker, if you recall that one, in sort of a shootout, not quite the same as Jordan Spieth's mess up, but yeah, so it's part of golf.
It's always drama. Always drama.
It is. I can't wait to get to Augusta. The drive, chip, and putt event will be on Sunday, of course, and that's great if you're not there to watch it on TV with all the kids being there at Augusta and the players all come out to congratulate them. And after that, we'll have the L's for Autism event at the Azalea House. You can get tickets for that by going to azaleahospitality.com. On Monday... let's see. What are we doing on Monday? Monday. What's Monday? I get them mixed up. I know Tuesday is Tuesday for the troops, and we'll have the Folds of Honor there. Laura Brina will be performing.
That's right.
We'll have Olivia Newton-John, and if people don't know who she is, they probably know who Britney Spears is. We'll have her accompanist, or their accompanist, there accompanying Laura. for the event on Tuesday. Wednesday, a very special secretive event. Thursday, Friday is the Golf Talk America Gala. We'll have a lot of fun with a lot of sports writers and golf writers and NFL players and all that kind of good stuff. Monday is Caddy for a Cure, by the way. Russ Holt.
Caddy for a Cure.
We love you, Russ. You're great. You're the best. Love your love what you do. Caddy for a Cure event will be there, and that'll be a lot of fun. You can get tickets for that, too. So, and we'll have a big NCAA championship televised, Jumbotrons, yada, 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 yada.
So, how can we get all this into 1 week, Frank? It's impossible. We can't do all that.
You better you better get a lot of rest before the Masters.
Seriously.
We're up 18 hours a day. It's going to be nuts.
You know what's cool about the Masters is it's so much more than just a golf tournament. It certainly is that, and that is the crown jewel and the focus. But there's so many things going on around it, and so many companies and people make that their annual corporate outing or their buddies outing or whatever for people to do the things we're talking about that are charity-related, but also it's just a huge event for people to go to. It's one of the bucket list events that people always want to go to and they talk about. I've been to one or two or seven or 20 or whatever, and they remember this and that about it. So to all our listeners out there, if you have a chance to get to the Masters, I had a friend that said that he won some kind of a contest, and he won two passes for one practice round. And he was kind of like going, I don't know, do I want to go for a practice round? It's a whole – I said, but you've never been, right? No. Well, you may never go again. And I said, just go. And I know it's – you got to get a hotel room and you got to fly there, because that's what he was saying. It's like, I'm going to go there for one day. Is it worth it? I said, yes, it will be worth it. You look back on it and talk about this for 20 years to your grandchildren about – because until you go there in person, Frank, it's hard to really picture and tell people how – majestic that place is.
It's incredible. And by the way, we're going to have a special guest co-host during the week with us.
Oh, good. Well, I'll take a little bit of the load off. Who's that?
It's going to add.
Who's taking over?
Guess.
Not Sweeney.
French.
Not Sweeney.
Oh, not Brendan God. Sweeney. No, please. Not
Sweeney. Well, there goes our careers.
Yeah, no kidding. It was nice doing the show with you, Tim.
You let Brendan go. We got to go to the restroom and give Brendan the microphone when we come back.
Brendan, he unleashed a couple of things on the air before, but Brendan's great. He's the best. French Lick is a great sponsor of ours. And Brendan, of course, is the director of player personnel and media relations for the French Lick Resort. You got to check out FrenchLick.com. Cool place. Great golf courses, great spa, great riding trails. That West Baden Springs Hotel is just unbelievable. It's just it's outside of cool. So anyway, it's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. But this week.
It's about a month. About a month from now.
It's four weeks. You got it. Yeah. This week's Valspar. And then we keep talking Masters. I don't want people to forget. There's some important tournaments leading up to the Masters. One being a special, special tournament that will no dry eye. Will be in Orlando, Florida at Bay Hill, Arnold Palmer's Bay Hill Club. That's going to be a big one. So we'll look forward to that, too.
So anyway. Jason Day is the defending champion for that, by the way, and Jason's once again battling some off again and on again, and that's kind of Jason's career is he's always got a little something, an issue. But I think the problem he had was more of a virus or a health kind of thing like that, not an injury, which is good if you're going to have something. So I think he's overcome that. And probably be able to defend his title at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So it's just great golf. I mean, it's just a great time to be in the world of golf. So many great golfers and tournaments.
One Hideki Matsuyama is a young man to watch.
That guy's got a future, Frank. I'm telling you right
think?
Now.
He's got a swing, I'll future. Tell you that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
he's so
does.
Good.
All right, buddy. All right. Well, let's get out of here. Done. Go have some fun. Let's go play golf today.
We'd like to thank Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf for joining us and giving us the educational background on how to approach Mexico. Next time you go, call Steve Johnson and ask him to give you the lowdown on that one. Again, congratulations to Dustin Johnson for the World Golf Championship, Mexico Championship, as he wins at 14 under par. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for listening to us once again. And please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.